I thought rent was supposed to be high in this town. Yeah?
It is.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But well, it's not. Because I've got an ad in front of me, 4-bedroom home, hits the rental market, $1,000 a week. That's 4 bedrooms. Nice. That's great. Oh, yeah, there is a brothel upstairs.
Oh, it's a bit stiff.
God, you MG. That is the only... The 4-bedroom home is a rental market for $1,000 a week, but they fail to mention there's a brothel upstairs. Oh, it's a nice surprise.
Hello.
You know what I mean? It would have been suspicious when they started charging rent by the hour. How much is this place? Oh, it's $300 an hour. Really? What do I get for that? The property in Elizabeth Street, Waterloo, City's inner west, of course, was listed as both residential and commercial. Has a car space, a kitchen, and one bathroom. Yeah, and shag pile on the walls, I'm guessing. What kind of joint is that? Keep it down up there. Oi, can you keep it down? Yeah, no, I don't like it when people in my building use the toilet late at night. That's got to get out of hand pretty quickly, isn't it? Do you know, I had a mate who moved into a brothel once and he didn't know. He didn't. So no, I'm like, I'm going to say moved into a brothel. It was a former brothel.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
He goes, oh, you've got to come around and see the new house. And I go, oh, okay, sure. So I walk in and I kid you not. He goes, have a look around. It's really spiffy. And I go, this carpet on the walls like purple shag pile. I go, oh, that's interesting. A salmony colour.
Yeah,
yeah. I go into his room. I go, what's the big hot tub in the corner for? Right? He goes, all the rooms have got them. I go, all right, mate. I'm just going to have to stop you here. I think you may have moved into a former brothel. He goes, oh, that'd explain all those guys who are knocking at about 4 in the morning. Thought they were lost. I don't know. Are there many rules if you're spending or sharing a... Yeah, so you don't want to be sharing the bins, do you?
No.
Upstairs, downstairs.
Oh.
Oh, I don't know what's going on there. You know what? I bet you there's stories out there, 133353, of bad rentals that you've had. It's Airbnb these days, isn't it? Kat, have you ever moved into a bad rental joint where you go, oh, this isn't quite right?
Well, I moved accidentally into a quasi-brothel. I didn't realise my housemate that I found on one of those flatmate finders was escorting and my nice underpants were getting stolen off the line and I thought we had a neighbourhood creep. So I told everyone in the house, don't hang anything on the line, you know, someone's stealing the underpants. And then 3 months later, I found them on her floor and pieced a few more steps.
Okay, so...
Is that what you were after?
And I think you've nailed it.
You've nailed it.
Oh, people see this as a negative. I'm not sure. It's a brothel upstairs. I tell you, if there's a kebab shop next door, I'd never leave the house. That'd be me.
It's Disneyland.
There's a town in, it's northern Queensland, I think it's Townsville or somewhere, that's got a KFC next to an adult shop. And I go, that's me.
Shut up and take my money.
And then I go into KFC. 133353, come on, a bad rental story. Yeah. So who have you bunked with?
Nick, before we get to those calls on the Sydney rentals, let's talk about some of the gems we have coming up on this podcast, including your mate who'll be sitting right next to you at the front bar tonight on Channel 7 at 9 p.m, the great Sam Pang. You two pretty much just trade insults throughout the entire chat. Also, your favourite TV shows. There'll be quite a few trips down memory lane with some theme songs on the way. Let's get to those calls now.
This is on the back of a 4-bedroom home that hit the rental market for $1,000. Seems cheap. Oh, yeah, but, of course, there's a brothel upstairs, which people are saying is a negative. I don't see it myself. I just think that's handy if you think about it. It'd be handy if you ever ran out of lube or dingers. Anyway, you'd be straight upstairs.
A little sugar.
You could get in trouble with you. If you've got in trouble with your partner, you never go, I thought they were just really friendly, babe. And how was I supposed to know? It just seemed like a neighbourly thing that was going on. know, see it from my point of view. Hey, we're talking about bad rentals. Dave, what happened to you, mate?
Hey, guys. Just up around that Northern Rivers area, a mate of mine rented a house that was going cheap. Nobody wanted it. So we went and checked it out, and about a month or two later, two doors up, the methadone clinic opened up.
Oh,
so every Wednesday night, he'd have us all around, and on Thursday morning, they'd be all out passing out on his front lawn and all that stuff. Oh, it was bad.
Oh, you get the picture. That's up there.
Again, though, could be handy after a big night. Yeah, you never know. I got involved in some crazy rentals when I was younger. Me and a mate took a place, and it was next door to a pizza parlour. So we just ate pizza every night. And it got to the point where, because we never put the bins out, we hired a truck to come around and remove the pizza boxes from our... I swear this is true, from our house, because we couldn't. We just had, there was a pile that we said, this is a fire hazard, because we're all smoking and sitting there. I said, mate, this joint's going to go up and we're all going to be incinerated. So we actually hired a truck, like a skip with a truck, to remove all the pizza boxes. And at the same time, after that, we thought, oh, we should have people around for dinner. And I go, well, that's good. What are we going to do? So I'll cook some tacos. So we're making tacos, and then we realized we didn't have any cutlery or plates. So we just put newspaper down on the table.
Oh, my God.
We just put newspaper down on the table and then just put the tacos on the thing.
Wow. Around the CSI tape that you had at the front door.
People didn't come back very often.
No.
You get the idea. Mm. Now, Steve, you've been involved in a similar situation. Am I right?
I sort of, Mick, yeah, it was up in Newcastle. It's a pretty good place up there. Mate, they've got the one street is a brothel there.
Yep.
The next door brothel is Domino's.
Yep.
next door to Domino's is a pub.
Yep.
And straight across the road is the good old Macca's.
Oh.
All right, and at least two of those places have a drive-through.
That's like Graceland.
That is. Mate, I'd never leave the precinct. I'd hold that joint in a siege situation. I'm upstairs. Bring me some Maccas and a schooner.
And some Domino's.
I'm not coming out. Jane from the Gong is on the line.
Hello, guys.
Guys, hey, dodgy renters, what happened?
I have a property, well, had, I've sold it now, a property in East Carmel. The tenants were the dodgy ones. They left.
What'd they do?
Owing six rent, even after we'd been to the tribunal, and now they've been declared bankrupt, so I'll never get any of that back. But I had to put eight new internal doors in because of holes. So the handle falls off, so we just punch a hole in it where it used to be. Wow. They put a brand new kitchen in, don't ask the landlord. We'll shift the manhole from where it was to where they wanted it. We'll just put things in the bathroom. And the kitchen, the old kitchen they ripped out, they just stacked in the backyard.
Wow. And
we'll
no
convert
recourse.
The garage. We'll convert the garage into a bedroom.
Wow. That couple will be on the new series of The Block, I reckon. They've been pretty busy, haven't they?
They have been busy, yeah.
Oh, is it a...
Right. Doing stuff to my place that I had to rip out when they left because it was so dodgy and bodgy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jane. What can we do? I didn't mean to leave it like that.
Can we brighten Jane's day up, Kat, please, and give her something?
Yeah, we'll send her to the Screaming Jets at Paddington RSL on the 10th of March. Well done, Jane.
Oh, my God. Okay, wow.
Good on you, darling.
We could have also sent her to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. How's this? Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers was seen on Bondi Beach in his derps, in his underpants. Can you believe that? Oh. He was on the beach. He decided to have a swim. He stripped down to his underpants. Had a swim. I mean, great when Flea does it. Everyone goes, isn't that great? When I do it, get locked up. It's up the beach.
You get right back in the ocean.
Glad Molly Meldrum wasn't with him. He would have gone in au natural. Hoodie, not that Bondi Beach. It's a pretty, you know, we've all been papped on Bondi Beach. You know, I got papped there.
Yeah.
Eating a burrito. And there's Flea, papped in his underpants. Hey, wearing underpants, that's quite a lot for the Red Hot Chili Peppers if you've seen him in concert. I've seen him a lot less than that. Me too. Good morning, I enjoyed our chat yesterday with John Bertrand. We missed out on asking him about some really good captains. I wanted to ask him about Captain Scatino.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Captain Scatino? He's the worst captain in the history of the world. Captain of the Concordia,
yep.
Which he ran aground off an island in Italy.
Oh, yes.
Do you know why?
Yes. Partying.
Because he was partying on the bridge. When they went there, they found a pair of women's underpants on the bridge. I'm not making this up. And he basically did a drive-by on the island with his car horn. Because he was showing off to women. Is there more a more Italian accident than that? He was incredible. And he also, his excuse was, and he got off the boat, if you remember correctly, and yeah. Captain's supposed to go down with the ship. So he disguised himself as a woman and jumped onto a lifeboat. And he said his excuse was he accidentally slipped and ended up in someone else's clothes.
Bullshit.
I swear to you,
the influence as well.
Well, I think that's taken as red. Once you've crashed a ship,
there's
underpants on the bridge, and he's sneaking into a lifeboat.
It's a fair chance.
Who's another famous captain?
He was one. Oh, I don't. I remember Tony Jack Bullimore, Sparrow. Captain Jack Sparrow. We should ask him about that. How would you go in attacking duel against Captain Jack Sparrow? How would that work out for you?
You know who my famous favourite captain is of all time?
Captain Antoniel.
Captain James T. Kirk.
From big Star Trek. Give me some more power. What was it? Oh, I never watched that.
Yeah, what was his name? Leonard Nimoy played him. Dr. Spock. That was it. I've never seen it, so I wouldn't know, but...
All right, we're off to a flyer.
That'd be a good show.
Okay. Captain Tennille, that was the other one. Oh, he would have been good. I'd love to
break in my heart.
Tick tock, tick tock. Checking the latest online. It's Mick Talk.
This is going bonkers out there in social media land. We scour all the platforms. Once they've booted up, is that a thing? Booting
that's up? A thing. It's a booted up. With your Wi-Fi?
Yeah, and I Wi-Fi them and and then Google them, whatever that is. I do the Google. Here's one TikToker has got some helpful advice to cure your hangover. This has been going on forever.
Yeah.
But this guy thinks he's nutted it. Just dunk your face in some freezing ice water over and over again, and apparently this should do the trick. Now, he's claiming there's some science behind it. A doctor on TikTok. Yeah, that's where I want to go for all my diagnoses. Oh, Doc, I seem to have a problem with my pancreas. Let's see if there's anyone on TikTok who can help us. So he's recently weighed in with his expertise and explained that this method actually activates something called the diver's reflex. Snaps you out of feeling like crap, tells your body to send more oxygen to your vital organs. Hangover cures. I've got one that's similar to that. It's not dunking your head in water, but this is the one that works for me, always has, always will. It's the only one that shows any sign whatsoever of improving your manner and demeanour and the way you feel. Go and jump into salt water, ocean water. It doesn't matter what happens. If you just go, okay, here we go, bang, you're in, bang, you're out, shock to the system. It's like, you know those bats, stand clear. Bzzz. It's like one of those for your body. Do you agree?
I agree.
Grandpa, yeah. It is. And I've got, look, I'm a long way. Well, I live in Penrith, so I'm a long way from salt water.
What do you do?
So conversely, I made my pool salt water so I could do exactly what you said. But otherwise, After I jump out of the pool, I just go back to the hair of the dog. Another drink.
Hair of the dog. It's a time-honoured tradition. Yep. I'm having one right now.
Yep.
it's a daily event for me.
Can't go wrong.
I agree. That's a good one too. I'm sure it's just prolonging or delaying the effect, but it does straighten you up. Kat, what about you?
This is bougie coconut water. It works every time because it's got the electrolytes. You put it in the fridge. You put it on ice. Coconut water is the best.
Man. What is wrong with you?
What?
Yeah, you don't deserve to get drunk. If that's your, if that's how you deal with it, coconut water. Yeah. Oh. See me in my office after the show, please.
What about Miss Belling?
Wherever that is.
I want to hear Tarsus.
I've just noticed as you get more mature, I'm only 23. That's going to shock you. But as you age, they tend, the headaches and being tired and emotional get worse, don't you think?
I think that's the kids more so the alcohol. As the kids get older.
Dealing
more,
with teenagers.
Yes, it's more drama.
You know, I think once you're post 50, the double header becomes a real issue.
What's the double header?
Well, back to back, it's like two nights in a row. Oh. Like I could go for a week back in the day. I could go for 7 days one night. So what do you do, Tash? What's your?
Oh, I agree. Ocean swim. Nothing better than an ocean swim.
There it is. Get that on MikTok. Everybody, tune in for the latest.
Download it.
Well, our next guest, he's my mate. We've done a number of shows together.
Oh my God, is this your intro?
Well, yeah, I haven't really prepared.
Have you forgotten my name? Oh my God!
It starts with a P. Sam Pang joins us live in the studio.
LNG.
Hey, Tash, do you know everyone?
I went straight to Tash. Is that okay?
That's okay.
You guys are like little school students laughing in the back row, the naughty boys.
Imagine if we'd gone to school together. Mick would have been my teacher, obviously. But it's wonderful to be on the show and yeah, I don't think it's going to last, but anyway, you've had a good couple of weeks, and that's great.
We're going to call you Sam Pang, or we're going to call you Pangos from now on after your famous Noosa.
Well, yeah, MG, I think if you're referring to the promo for Front Bar, which I thought was a beautiful tribute.
It was, indeed,
an iconic piece of
Michael
vision.
Clark. And have you got it there? Just play it.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Let's go.
Here it is.
Dickhead Pang, I'm telling you, it's this Wednesday, Front Bar, All Sports National.
You are a liar.
I swear on my daughter's life.
You don't even have a daughter.
I swear on Andy Marr's life.
That means even less.
Don't you walk away from me, Pangos. Oh, geez, now I've done my hammy.
It's not your hammy, that's gout, you fat.
It's got BAFTA written all over it.
I'd never, you Mickey, the words came quite easily to me. They really flowed.
That wasn't scripted.
No.
You just threw that in on the day. And can I say,
Tourette's.
Not many people know this, but I put on 10 pounds for the role. They didn't ask me to. I just decided to. And I'll tell you what. Tell you this. Gout acting is not as easy as you think. It's a bit like my left foot. You know, who's that actor? Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
If he had to go out there in that park under those conditions and transform from a hammy to gout, he would have gone.
You've had so
too
much
hard.
Experience. You missed the day of schooling, grade six, with gout. Do you know what I mean? So it's not like this is not a new thing. But
yeah, but he blamed the shellfish for that. He blamed the yes.
And Pangos.
Yeah, Pangos. Now, yeah. Well,
in the vernacular,
I'll answer to anything.
It was all there, of course, to promote tonight as we go for the first time this year on Front Bar All Sports. May I say, with our first guest, John Bertram. Now, you've been...
And Lauren Jackson.
And Lauren Jackson, of course.
Notice how quiet MG and Tasha are and Kat. They haven't seen the show. Never seen it before.
I'm so traumatised by the promo. It needed a warning, Sam. No,
That's true. You really launched into that,
Do you know what? They wanted to pixelate it, but they didn't have enough pixels. So are you good to go? You look like you've been in a good paddock over summer.
I'm very fresh.
Are you match fit? Are you coming in hot?
I am not. But you do a lot of heavy lifting, much like you did in that promo. And so, and I say this sincerely, guys, for me to sit next to Mick and do the show with Andy Marr, it's a big thrill. And we're all very excited about these all sports shows. You know, there's six of them, Mickey.
Yep.
I don't think I'll be doing them all, but that's fine. You know, man, just you keep your best sources fresh. But you, they wheel
what
out
do you
every
say?
Week.
He say to me, he goes, mate, you just you keep the Lamborghinis in the garage some of the time. That's what he says about
it's
himself.
It's very exciting because we get to get, you know, there's a what a summer of sport it's been and to cover sports all around
what's
the world.
What's been your highlight, Sammy, this summer, mate? What's been your highlight?
The Sydney to Hobart. It's always for me, the Sydney to Hobart. You know, mate,
are you a Bridgabella man?
The sport of the people. And Mickey, you know this. I'm a big Wild Oats man.
You're a big Wild Oats.
I got a Wild Oats tattoo. I hopped off Scandia. I hopped off Bridgabella. And no, I just in case anyone is. You know, there's a bit of nuance there. I hate that sport, and it is not even a sport, by the way.
Not a sport, mate.
God, I hate it. Anyway, so that finishing was my highlight of the summer, MG.
Well, John Bertrand will be happy to hear on tonight's program that you're not a fan of ocean sailing. What is wrong with you? The other question I love it was when you ask, what's it like working for Malloy Boy Productions? Yes. Could you talk to that?
I often get asked, because the front bar is produced by Mick and his brother and Adrian Brown, I think he's been on this show as well. He's in therapy, by the way, after that interview you did. And, I often get asked, what's it like working with the Malloy Boys? And I just say, it's like working with the Weinstein Brothers.
Allegedly.
Not even, there's no allegedly. They should be in jail, those two.
Look.
Embezzlement's a strong word, MG, but anyway.
If you can't get one off in a pot plant, I know that at the office. I don't know what it is. He's just asked MG to validate his
parking. Well, I just thought you were a bit quiet in that first segment, MG. You've got to do something. Tash, what are you doing on this show?
This wasn't in my contract.
You should double check that contract. You are a journalist of the highest order. Someone of standing in this country to demean yourself on this show with these two is a disgrace.
It took two episodes to drag her down to our level, so she didn't put up much of a fight. Any questions for MG? One of the greatest legends, a State of Origin champion, like a Sydney icon, like one of the greats. Anything?
How long do you think you'll last, MG, with him?
I've got 3 years on my contract to go, so I reckon if I get to half of that, I'll be happy.
You notice that both your co-hosts, they went straight. Whenever they talk about you, their contract comes up. Contractually, I'm obliged to do it. I've got this such long. They don't, mate. No,
actually, no. In all seriousness, I love the bloke. I think I've been watching Mick for a long, long time, and he's one of the doyens of Triple M. You think of Dougie Mulray, then you think really close behind him of Mick Malloy, and for us to be working on the same show, it's awesome. It's and on the I do watch the front bar. I know it was a mainly AFL show that you did, but I can't wait to see these all sports shows. I reckon it's going to be fan bloody tastic. To be honest,
yeah, I can't wait to watch the ones I'm not on too.
Who's going to take your spot when you go off it?
A sack of potatoes. I'm going to get a sack of potatoes, and I'm going to put it on the chair, and I'm just going to ask it questions. That's just like the multi all over again. You will be on our all sports shows one day as an absolute legend of your sport. We've got some of the best moustaches in sporting history coming up. John Bertrand this week.
Yes.
Booney next week. That's going to be a lot of fun. Booney on a show where beer is served is always a dangerous proposition.
What about Bruce Laird?
Bruce Laird? Is that, MG, I'm just going to speak for everyone here, and I hope that's not one of your more topical references, by the way. You know, man, it's 2023.
I did get a couple of head knocks, Sam. I did get a couple of head knocks in my footy.
Hey, 15 concussions in 15 years, he told
really?
Me, and he's still brighter than you. Yeah. And I think
that's true.
That says that's true. A lot.
Mummy.
Okay, we're still on it.
Are we really? I told you during the song that I didn't have two breaks in me, but you wheeled me back out, and look what's happened.
It's like a seal.
You'll be carried out of here in a box. Who's the guest you're looking forward to?
Well, so we've got, what are we doing? John Bertrand and Lauren Jackson tonight, which is very, very exciting.
Graham Arnold will swing by.
Graham Arnold down the track. I think there's obviously
A big wave surfer, Ross Clark Jones.
I'll sit that one out. I'm not going to do it. I can't do them all, Mick.
Do you know what I love about him? He rides some of the biggest waves in the world, and it's dangerous every time he enters the water. He got carried off the set of Survivor in an ambulance.
Wow, was that him?
That was him. So he's not ready for it yet, but that's going to be the first 20 questions he gets.
Can I just say one thing too? You know, MG, I think he had a moment of sincerity where he talked about how great it is to do radio, and it is amazing. I mean, you are an icon of radio. Yeah. And it's the same for me, though, seriously, to sit next to Mick as someone who grew up watching him, and then to sit next to him and do a show with him. It's very, very exciting. It's like, I think it's like, it'd be like working with Graham Kennedy at the end. Yeah, right at the end when he didn't know where he was. That's what it's like for me, man, to sit next to me. He doesn't know where the cameras are. Are we on? You know, he doesn't even know anymore, MG. It's amazing.
Well, it's a...
With your heroes.
It's a show set in a bar where we drink beer. It's within my very narrow...
What could go wrong?
Reference. So you wouldn't be where you are if it wasn't for me. You'd have been sitting around listening to me on your gym jams as a little baby in the wireless going, one day.
I'm in a box of Triple M sitting next to you holding like a tin cup so I can hear you. This is not the greatest thing. This is not the greatest, the apex of my life.
I know. Are you good to go tonight?
I'm a genuine 50-50.
Genuine 50-50.
This hasn't helped, by the way.
Tune in.
But it's wonderful to meet all your co-hosts.
It is indeed. If he's not there... There'll be a sack of potatoes on... There's a potato shortage. Did you know this?
What?
Oh, no.
I'm Asian. We don't eat potatoes.
This is good for you.
I'm serious. I don't like potatoes.
What's your beef with potato?
Carbs.
That's un-Australian.
They lack MSG.
That would be MG's name if he was Chinese.
If my middle name was Stuart.
Okay, if that's the type of stuff you love.
Yeah, completely.
Wow. Tune in tonight. Wow.
Management are outside. Management are outside already, Mick. It's only week three for you.
Hey, this is it. We've got the show on tonight. We've gone into our office, but we're all locked out. We can't go in because there's an electrical issue at the Molloy Boy headquarters.
I said this on the good luck message that I sent you on day one.
Yes, you did.
To everyone involved in the show, get out now, okay? He will bring you down like the Titanic.
I'm looking at Bumper,
9 p.m. tonight, Channel 7.
Thanks, guys. Bang.
Everyone remember Laverne and Shirley?
Oh,
yeah, yes. One of those shows. It was a spin-off from Happy Day. There you go.
From Mario. Off the way to corporate.
There we go. You know the theme music. Cindy Williams, who played Shirley, has died at the age of 75. I always liked Laverne and Shirley. Especially, I think it's some of the best opening credits in a film. They're piss-farting around in a brewery.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not how to endear yourself to me, I fell in love with them immediately. It was a spin-off of Happy Days. It was a very funny show. It also involved the antics of Lenny and Squiggy.
Oh, how good.
And I think Lenny and Squiggy was a spin-off show from Laverne and Shirley. They actually did a Lenny and Squiggy. Can't believe those blokes are still alive.
And I think Carmine was as well. I think Carmine might have been, the tap dancing boyfriend of one of them. He used to always break out in the song.
Stop it, MG. What are you talking about?
You never go from rags to riches.
Wow.
Carmine, the tap dancing boyfriend. Now you're even stretching my memory. But it's one of those things that you take for granted, but when you hear it, it reminds you, it takes you back to a certain time and a certain place where you used to watch that stuff. If you're our age, hovering around the 50-year-old region, you'd know exactly what we're talking about. Did you have a favourite show, MG?
Look, you mentioned Happy Days. That was one of them. I think, Happy Days was that show that I'd rush home from school to make sure that I'd done all my homework, and Mum wouldn't let me watch TV until I'd done my homework.
It was on before the news, wasn't it?
Yes. And then Mickey, as I got older, I used to think, okay, here's Fonzie, who's probably in his 30s. He's got a toilet as his office.
Yeah.
He hits the wall and women, teenagers run to him. It's a little bit creepy now if you watch the back.
Well, the Fonz was the coolest guy on the block. Oh, yeah, full disclosure, I had a very, big teenage crush on Mrs. Cunningham.
Oh.
Well, just did
apparently
it for me.
So did Fonzie. Apparently so did Fonzie off screen.
Simon Fonzie, was he living upstairs at the Cunninghams?
Yes.
But for
yes.
a cool guy, he was hanging out in bathrooms and living in a family's attic. He put the pieces together. That's where the famous phrase, jumping the shark, comes from. So
yes.
when you talk in showbiz, they'll talk about when a series goes well or it finally reaches its point where people stop watching it, they call it jumping the shark. And it was all about an episode of Happy Days where they went to Hawaii or somewhere and the Fonz had to jump the shark. And they identified that as the end, the death knell of Happy Days. And that phrase, jumping the shark, is now in the vernacular for someone who goes, well, you just broke it. You pushed it too far.
Well, of course, he'd done it in his bloody leather jacket, the buffet. He had boxer shorts on with a leather jacket jumping over the shark.
Sharks didn't know what was going on. Sharks are going, what do we do with this bloke?
You know, we can't bite him. He's got a leather jacket on.
Bite, they reckon he's cool. Did you have a favourite show, MG, outside of... So you said Happy Days.
I think the Brady... here's a story about a lovely lady.
Brady Bunch.
Here's a story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
Another story.
I interviewed Florence Henderson, the mother.
Oh, do tell.
And I don't... like talking outside of school, but I'm pretty sure she hit on me.
Oh.
And I...
Will you say you had a crush on Cunningham? That was my crush on her.
Well, she would have been up for it, I reckon. Yeah, that would have been keys in the bowl after that interview. This is a true story, okay? I interviewed Barry Williams.
Okay, Greg.
And this is, I was pointed out to me afterwards, I called him Greg through the entire interview. It's still footage that goes, oh, good on you, Greg. Well, thanks for coming in today, Greg. It's very nice of you, Greg. This is Barry Williams. So there was that. And I also have another friend with the Brady Bunch here, because you know the layout of the house.
Yeah.
And Alice used to live there, and Alice yes. always used to turn up from a certain point in the house. Well, he was studying architecture and went and did a floor plan and pointed out that every time Alice appeared, she couldn't be appearing from her bedroom because there was no room for it. Said she's actually arriving from a pantry.
So, yeah, and she always had one of Sam's sausages.
I tell you what, Sam the butcher was putting it about a bit. I tell you.
Wasn't he what?
Someone said this the other day, butchers get more action than any other profession. Did we? Were we discussing
yep,
it?
Yep, we were. I did research on it.
Yeah. Oh, there's our hard-hitting news anchor. Tash. Tash, what was your favourite show? What was yours?
Do you know what? The Goodies. I remember The Goodies. I just love a good laugh.
Yeah.
And also Greatest American Hero. And it reminds me of a time... I lived in the country and we only had two television stations. So we went to go and visit my grandparents. They lived near Sydney.
Yep.
They had four stations. So greatest stress
Good
was
Lord.
Which cartoon or which favourite show to watch.
Love it. Hey, your chance to get involved. 133353.
Oh, yeah.
Your favourite TV show from that era. What about the A-Team?
Oh,
I was a huge fan of the A-Team. Yes. Oh, I love this bit. Get to the chorus quickly. Here we go. That's it. Oh, you knew it was all about to go down. Murdoch, you fool! And Mr. T in it. George Papad smoking a big, fat stogie. I used to love it. Do you know, in growing up in around the Frankston area in Melbourne, we started our own A-team. We had an Irvan, right? And we used to go out in our Irvan, and we used to sneak up, and we'd do something like steal a bird bath out of someone's front yard, and we'd put it in the van. And as we drove off, you'd hear that, like that, and you knew you'd been A-teamed. And we'd leave him a note saying it's down the beach, you can go and retrieve it. But we got quite notorious because we'd be down the pub and everyone's going, oh, who's the A-team? Do you know anyone who's in the A-team? And I'd be there going,
you're chuckling.
I was like a superhero. I was. Mark's on the line. What show do you remember from that era, Mark?
Good morning, team. BJ and the Bear.
BJ and the Bear. That was like with
BJ McKay and his best friend.
BJ McKay, yeah, my best friend Bear. And the monkey was the bear.
That's right. And the monkey was a bear. That's strange.
And BJ was the big truck driver who'd go across the country solving crime, and BJ and the Bear would help him solve them. Yep. Good show. Bring it back. I say, bring it back.
There it is. Wow. Yeah. BJ the Bear, me and my friends used to have euphemisms for our testicles. He used to call his testicles BJ and the Bear. He goes, how are you going there? I'll just have to check in with BJ and the Bear. Mine was Captain and Tennille.
Mine was Banana and the Pear.
Captain and Tennille are a bit sore today. And another mate used to call him Cheech and Chong. don't get me started. Cheech and Chong have had a big night. Hey. The mate called them Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, Simon.
John Lennon and Yoko.
Lennon and McCartney. That would be a good one. Jake and the Fat Man. Oh, that was a good show.
Great show.
Jake and the Fat Man was a great show. Did you mention, Tash, did you mention Greatest American Hero?
Yes.
Wow. Well, my memory of that show, I didn't love the show, but I loved its appearance on Seinfeld when
George,
it was his answering machine message. Do you remember?
That's right. Yep.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep. I must be out before I pick up the phone. Believe it or not, I'm not home.
That's not bad at all. Kat, I didn't go to you. Kat, what are you thinking?
Oh, this was me.
What would you do?
The Wonder Years.
Oh, Fred Savage.
Yeah. In the news a bit at the moment for all the wrong reasons, but this was a great show growing up.
Who was the hot smart chick?
Wendy? Millie? Wendy?
Oh, Wendy, was it?
Yeah, I think Wendy. It was Wendy. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he have a crush on Millie or something? No, anyway. Mm.
Anyway, that was all good. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, what's the show?
Mate, the young ones.
Oh, the young ones is very good. Once in every lifetime, comes a love like this. Oh, I need you. Every time I run into Ben Elton, I remind him that was one of the greatest things he ever did. It was just incredible. Tony's online. Tony, what are you saying?
Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, Hogan's Heroes.
I know nothing.
Hogan.
Look at him.
What I love about this show, all right, I would love to have been there when they pitched it. So what is it? It's a comedy set in a concentration camp. I mean, at what point does that become, that'll be a laugh a minute. Yeah, so all the guys are just hanging around in a concentration camp and they get up to massive hijinks.
Yeah, the Schultzy.
Hogan.
It's the first time I saw an eyepiece. Remember the captain just walking with that eyepiece in his eye? I wonder how's he keep that in his eye, I wonder.
Who was that?
That's your takeaway?
The captain, the Schultz's boss.
Oh, yeah.
He's
Colonel Clink.
Clink. Clink. Clinks. There you go. Clinky.
Colonel Clink. McMillan and wife, anybody? Don't
Rock
remember
Hudson?
That.
Was that Rock Hudson?
No idea.
No, Dennis Walter.
Chris is on the line, Chris. Shows from that era.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Hello, Chris.
Great show, by the way.
Thank you. Very kind.
I'm not sure how far back we're going. MASH has got to be one of the best.
Oh, listen to this. This is awesome, this intro. Early morning
fog I see. So MASH was a very good show, but came from a very good movie that was a lot darker. It was a fantastic film, but then turned into a very funny series. Rick's got a good one. Rick, show, please.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Oh,
Mr. Cocktail.
Yeah.
And Vinnie Barbarino.
Vinnie Barbarino, John Travolta, who launched him as some kind of. They were Horshack. Horshack, which was
the name of,
which was the name of one of my testicles for a period there.
Oh.
Remember the show I Dream of Jeannie? There's a show you wouldn't get up today. Either.
No.
Why?
You can't keep it.
Oh, what? Astronaut keeps a hot chick in a bottle.
Yeah. And keeps getting.
And she does stuff whatever he wants.
Every wish.
Well, he goes out and has some fun. Hey, you know what? They just keep coming. We'll keep taking your calls. But also, what about this? We might talk about who you want to take in the Deadpool, like Cindy Williams is dead. Of these people.
I don't know whether you can go there.
Yeah, what I do think you mean? We can. William Shatner.
Of course we can. It's William Shatner.
Yeah.
He's got to be close.
Mel Brooks.
Who's showbiz do you reckon is? Don't take Mel Brooks. MG.
He's 97.
You need to calm down. I'll tell you who, Jack Nicholson. If we were having a Deadpool right now, I'm going to take. Right, he hasn't been cited for over a year now.
That's true.
You think about it. I'll be wheeling him around Weekend at Bernie's style.
It's a double barrel phoner.
Someone's going to die from Oaken Potsy. Potsy or Ralph Mouth?
Or Ralph Mouth.
Yeah. Can't be far away. This is because Cindy Williams, of course, is dead. Laverne and Shirley was a great show. Martin's on the line. Martin, what was the show for you from that era?
Gilligan's Island.
Oh, Gilligan's Island.
And I found out that Raquel Welsh was auditioned for the part as Marianne. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Raquel Welsh. MG, question without notice. Were you a ginger or Marianne man?
I was Marianne.
Well, you're Marianne. I was in the Marianne camp too.
Yeah.
Jeez. There's those pigtails and those little country tops. All right, too much information.
I didn't mind Thurston Howard the Third's wife, either. She was nice.
It was a bit longer than tooth, but I didn't like the way the skipper always used to hit Gilligan with his hand.
Mate, bullying.
It's your fault. You're the reason they're lost. Hit off the front foot. Starsky and Hutch.
That was awesome.
I used to call my testicles Starsky and Hutch.
Were you a Starsky or Hutch man?
I was Starsky. Yeah,
blonde one?
I did like Hutch's big jumper. You know, remember he had the big.
And he had David Soul had he had a pretty good single out as well.
When I found out I was having twin boys, I was going to call them Starsky.
You should have.
I was overruled. Starsky and Hutch, or Hamish and Andy. I was going to go with Graham. What's the show you remember from the era, mate?
Hey guys, Knight Rider.
Yes, good work, Kat. Knight Rider and his Michael Knight and his supercar Kit. Was it Kit?
Yes.
Yep, everyone wanted a car of Kit.
He had a good run there, Hasselhoff, the Hoff, didn't he?
He had Baywatch.
He had another one, which was, that's a good life, just running down the beach in your red lolly bags and just raking in the cash. that's a good... Hey, put him in your Deadpool. You've seen him lately? Yeah, it's all going a bit skew. If Jason's on the line, Jason, what's the show?
How you going, fellas?
Good, buddy. What is it?
Fawlty Towers and the Blackadder.
Two of the great sitcoms of all time. Fawlty Towers, I think they famously only made about 8 episodes or 9, but you remember them all. And how's this? And this gets me angry. The woke team, because it's on BBC, have taken the Don't Mention the War episode off because they say it's not okay. And I say, I'm about to swear, you need to be on delay.
Oh, no.
Nothing makes me madder in the world. That's one of the funniest episodes. The major...
Yep.
Gets stuck into it. Fawlty Towers is on fire. Swear. The old bloke gets. It just drives me mad. And it's funny and it's brilliant. And everyone loved it for years and years. But someone at the BBC has decided you're no longer allowed to watch it.
I know. How bad?
I'm just going to walk it off.
You okay?
Straight to the next caller while I just play somebody.
Peter, what's your show that you grew up watching? Hello, Peter.
Yeah, McHale's Navy. Didn't the captain retire and become our Prime Minister?
McHale's Navy. Who, Ernest Borgnine?
Yeah, your dad, he's been captain, mate. If you have a look at our Prime Minister, it's wicked.
Hey, Peter, get off the cookies.
Hey, Peter, it's too early to drink, mate. Come on.
Peter, let's come on. Put the edibles
I know it's
there,
12 o'clock somewhere, but come on.
Peter's on fire. Urshan, what was the show?
Oh, good morning, Mick. Good morning, MG.
Good morning, Ursh.
You sound a bit too bubbly for my liking this time of morning.
What was the show?
Calm the farm, mate. Now, what's the show?
Used to love the Different Strokes back in the day.
Oh, what you talking about, Willis?
Strokes. Yeah, well, you know what? You talk about the Deadpool. I think half of them are gone, aren't they?
There was
a curse of the Different Strokes and the kids. So Willis went to jail. He stabbed someone, possibly to death.
Yep.
Kimberly? She was involved in porn, heavily involved in the porn industry. And then, of course, well, we all know the
Gary
sex
Coleman.
Pest. Gary Coleman is...
Sex pest. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Hasn't kicked on.
No.
Really? He's done some jail time, doesn't he?
He's gone, Gary Coleman. He's left us.
Yeah, well, too late to get on him for the Mr. Ed. Look at Glenn. Great call. Mr. Ed.
Yeah. Oh.
Hello.
He comes with his own impression. I like the final episode. I like the final episode where they put Mr. Ed down. I just thought,
put the blanket around him.
It was a great finish. Robert's on the line. Robert, show please.
How about the Dukes of Hazzard?
Love the Dukes of Hazzard. That's right. Any time you can get into a car without opening the door, it just sends me crazy. And the Daisy Dukes have become a thing. It's a fashion item. She was the first to really make popular the cut-off denim shorts.
Yep.
And I'll tell you, while we're Deadpooling, Boss Hogg.
I'm going
to put Boss Hogg right in there very soon. I think we're done. There's so many more. I'm looking down at Kingswood Country, Monkey Magic. We could do this all day, but we won't. We've got to get on with the show, guys. I know we've already closed the MikTok files for the morning, but here's a late entry. I've been scouring the socials. A Melbourne woman has called for the creation of an adults-only suburb. That's right, adults-only, so she can have peace and quiet. She's a TikTok user. Uploaded the video over the weekend following a visit to a local pool saying she was sick, having to put up with screaming children. Here's a grab of her.
I would like to know when somebody is planning on opening an adults-only suburb where everything in it is only for adults. Because I am so sick of going places and kids are just everywhere screaming. I just went for a swim. They have their own pool and they're in the lap lane pool. Not swimming laps, just jumping in and screaming. And that's just allowed because they're allowed everywhere. I just feel like for people like me that are evil and hate kids, we should have our own suburb where we can just be quiet and undisturbed.
Well, I'm just going to put my hand up and say I'm in. Look, yes, I'll miss my kids, but it's going to be worth it. They can stand just on the edge of the city limits while I go and have a good time. I don't know what you're thinking, MG, but when I think of an adults-only city, I just think of a strip club the size of an entire suburb.
Like, there's already places where there's adults-only. You know, the nightclubs and in Tasmania, I suppose.
Yeah, but this is the whole thing. Imagine that. No baby on board stickers. No school pickup.
Actually, he's starting to get me over. He's starting to get me.
Although, on the other hand, no MILFs. You know what I mean? Tasha, are you into a...
I've just walked in and heard that. What does that mean?
No MILFs. Well,
what? Does MILF or the suburb mean, you mean?
Well, you can't have a MILF if there's no mums. Because there's no kids.
Yeah.
Tash doesn't know
so
what
how
means.
Do you know?
I'm
you
just thinking
know.
About the I'm thinking about the cost of living. I thought you were talking about the cost of milk.
Well, don't need
to buy milk anymore. No one cracking it in the supermarket? Oh, that'll be disappointing, won't it? Some kid going bonkers. I tell you what, I know you're not allowed to smack your kids anymore, but I wish you're allowed to smack other people's kids.
Yeah, that's now we're talking.
That would be, oi, you, bang.
You, bang. Just clip across the ear. Boom.
A little one, a little sneak attack. Come up, an elbow, a raised elbow.
I'd like to do my own video on these TikTokers who keep trying to influence on, you know, this another one. But I'm a TikTok user. Can I have a suburb that's got no children? How about, can I have a suburb that has no TikTok in it? That'd be nice.
Whoa.
How about that? How about that as a suburb?
You've gone too far now. What, no social media, no phone?
None.
What are we going to do? Talk to each other?
We're going to have fun. We're going to talk to each other. We're going to play touch football on the road. We're going to play cricket in the street.
We might climb a tree.
We might climb a tree and make a tree house. How's that sound?
We'll make a billy cart.
Oh, yes.
Imagine that.
What we'll do is we'll steal the trolley from the shopping centre and take the wheels off and put that on the billy cart.
That's
too far.
I thought there were no kids in this suburb. It's just us. All right.
Gaia, he's over his head. What a try!
Big Mark Gaia towering over it.
MG Sport Report.
Yeah, MG, yeah, 29 days till the NRL kickoff, 8 days till the first trial game, and now that cricket's over, well, let's talk about rugby league.
Well, yeah, you're right, Kat. Now that cricket is behind us, we start looking at our footy seasons. And firstly, let's start with Eddie Jones. One of Eddie Jones's target for rugby union, Will Penasini, Parramatta sensation in the centres. He signed an extension to stay with the Eels, so that's a big cross next to Eddie. There's one down, probably three to go. Eddie, I don't think you're going to get any of your men, mate.
Yep.
You're barking up the wrong tree, so just worry about your own code. And don't worry about chasing NRL players.
All right, settle down, big fella. Settle down.
No, no. Sorry, mate. He's got under your skin,
hasn't he?
Well, he's come with a lot of pizzazz. Eddie, look, I've spoken to Eddie in many interviews. He's a sensational bloke. But when you come start trying to, you know, take our players to your code, and I feel more for the junior rugby union players who are the grassroots level trying to say, well, they want to buy these guys and get them in front of us. I don't get it. Right. The Bulldogs have announced co-captains with Reid Marnie and Matt Burton as their game day co-captains this year. What do you think about that, Mickey?
I want to ask you about co-captains because I don't care what code it is. I'm not a fan, and I don't understand what you get. A captain by nature, there's only one captain or one skipper, and that's been it since time immemorial. If there's a boat, there's one skipper. If there's in a military operation, there's one boss. I don't. Imagine if you said to the coach who's doing that, oh, what about co-coaches? Why don't we have co-coaches? They'd go, that's bullshit. You can't do that. There's only one coach. Where do you stand? Were you ever involved in a co-captaincy scenario?
No. We used to call it vice-captain. We used to have a...
captain and vice-captain. If anything goes wrong with the captain...
It is a kind of an in vogue thing these days in sport, in rugby league in particular. Obviously, the Penrith Panthers, who won the comp the last 2 years, had a forwards captain, which was Isaiah Yeo, and a backs captain, which was Nathan Cleary. So they become co-captains. Last year, the West Tigers, your Tigers are the AFL model. Well, the Tigers up here had five captains. They were known as the Hand.
Five
captains.
Who were they captaining? No one. Who goes out for the toss of the coin? They toss it me like a game of two-up. You have a go, I'll have a go.
And just a couple of quick ones. Look, the Sharkies fans have been dealt a couple of blows. Young Kay Dykes, up-and-coming fullback, reportedly has done his ACL in a pre-season accident, which is shocking news for them. Only a day or two after losing their young fullback Lockie Miller to the Newcastle Knights, who have now looked like they've got a fantastic spine. Let's finish on Luke Brooks. Luke Brooks is a much maligned rugby league player, Mick, for the West Tigers. Yeah. He wants his old mate Mitch Moses to come back and fill the role of the 5'8 role. So this is what he said yesterday or the day before.
Obviously played a lot of footy growing up together and had a few years in first grade. I sort of wish we were playing. I think when we came in we were young and sort of didn't really know how to play in first grade. Now that we've learned a lot, I think we'll be good together.
Are you in easy?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a few of us are.
Now, that's fine. I get that he wants to play with his old teammate again, but he's got a player at the West Tigers now called Adam Dewey, who I think could be one of their best players, if not the best player for the West Tigers. And I think he could develop into something like Matt Burton is at the Bulldogs. So if I'm Luke Brooks, I'm worried about what I've got, not what I haven't got. And I'm thinking that you should worry about your own backyard. And Matt Burton-esque Adam Dewey will inspire your team. I don't think Mitchell Moses is going anywhere. He's going to stay at the Eels. He looked like he was going to leave clubs and go to the Dogs or the Tigers, but I think he's going to stay at the Eels, and I hope he does. But as you mentioned, Kat, 29 days till NRL kicks off, 8 days till the first trial. Giddy up.
We are done and dusted for another day. Well done, everybody. What do you got on tonight, guys? MG, you up to anything?
Mate, I'll be at the gym with the Sabres till about 6, and I'm going to come home and cook a barbecue, and then I'll be in front of the TV about 5 to 9 ready for the front bar, my man.
Oh, good on you, mate. Thanks for your support. Front bar tonight, channel. What channel is it?
Seven. At 9 o'clock.
Seven. Oh, I've got John Bertrand, Lauren Jackson on board. Should be a load of fun. What are you doing, Kat?
I'm taking my parents' mattress shopping, so.
Okay. I wasn't going to anticipate that.
No,
you could have given me 10 shots at it, and I wouldn't have got that.
Really?
Why are you going with your parents? What do they want your opinion? What do you?
I certainly will not be giving any opinions. But I know my dad will lie on every. We'll be there for hours. He'll lie on every single one.
Do you drive so they get on the drink while they're driving around? Like, so are they on the drink while you're driving?
No, it's just because I feel more trusted in my driving than theirs. So, yeah.
And do they get on like the bed and spoon each other and go, "Ooh, this is nice. This is good."
They still sleep in the same bed.
Still active?
They are, and I hear about it. Yes, they are very much in love. Still at 78.
Yeah, good. We've got to get them on.
I don't know if we need to do that.
All right. I want a full report on the mattress shopping in the morning. Well done, one. Well done, all. Have a great day. Good on you, Sydney.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Nick Malloy, MG in the morning.